this morning. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. These words are words of victory for the child of God. It's words of victory for the disciples and even for Thomas, as she just sang about. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 6. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see Him. And lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run and bring the disciples word. I want us to look primarily this morning. We're taking our subject from verse number 8. You would normally think it would be verse number 6 or 7. Verse number 8, I find here that it says, as they departed from that place that was a place of death, a place of burial, the Bible says they departed quickly, and they left with fear and joy. And then it says they did run to bring His disciples word. I want us to think this morning upon the subject of the message of resurrection. The message of resurrection, or the message of Easter. I've called it the sound of Easter. I had another title, the voice of resurrection. I've settled upon this topic as the message of resurrection. This morning, as we are in this place, we are here because someone brought us word of the resurrection. Someone brought us word that there was a Savior. There was a man that lived and died, and then He arose again. Today, as Christians everywhere, we join hands and hearts to honor Him. He who conquered man's three greatest enemies. He conquered death, He conquered hell, and thank God He conquered the grave. This resurrection of Jesus Christ was truly a glorious day, a triumph for God, for the Son of God, for the truth of God, for the message that we have today is because of the resurrection. As we travel down the pathway of life and headed toward glory, we're not just traveling on wishful thinking. I'm glad we're traveling on a knowledge that Jesus arose from the dead. I'm glad it's something that we just do not have to say, well, I hope it happened, or we suppose it took place. I heard someone this morning, of course, anytime you have religious holidays, there's always somebody that has some kind of documentaries to try to prove or disprove the truth of the Word of God. And they said this morning some kind of statement such as this, that we're going to examine the so-called evidences of the resurrection. Well, there's no such so-called evidences. There are evidences of the resurrection. And we know them as truth because we believe by faith what the Bible tells us in this Word of God. The fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether the liberals and the God-haters and deniers want to admit it or not, the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is universally acclaimed. It is universally accepted as a time of resurrection. Now, they may not know anything else other than the words and the terminology that Jesus arose from the dead, but Easter, we call it, resurrection time, has a message for us. It has something to tell us, and it had something in our past that told us of a Savior. And we trusted Him, we believed upon Him, and that belief and trust brought us into the family of God by faith in Him. But it is a message that we have to tell also to a lost and dying world. The Scripture says here that they departed from the sepulchre. They parted with fear and great joy. Joy because the tomb was empty. Fear because of the unknown and not knowing what had taken place and what was going to happen in their lives. But they did run to bring the message, and they did run and they brought to the disciples, they brought them word of what they had seen. And this morning we have the recorded account of the words or the message of resurrection. The message proclaims to us a triumphant Christ. I'm glad this morning that He had victory. There's a victory that was experienced and a victory that was going to be expressed to a lost and dying world down through the generations of time. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come see the place where the Lord laid. What an experience we find here that this messenger of the Lord told these to come see. Come see where He lay. He's not there now, but you come and see where He was. And the message is, He is not here. I'm glad this morning that He's not in the tomb. He is there. He's in heaven today, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Colossians tells us in chapter 2 and verse number 15, tells us that Christ, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Thank God at the cross the battle was not only fought, but the battle was won for the souls of mankind. Victory was finalized when He was no longer there, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The empty tomb was there as an evidence that He was not here. He is no longer there. You see, Mohammed's tomb is still occupied. Buddha's tomb is still occupied. Others down through the ages of time, you have Confucius and other great religious leaders of the world, their tomb is still there, and they go, and travelers will travel thousands of miles just to say that they've been to that tomb. I'm glad we go to our tomb. There's no one there. Amen. Thank God Jesus is no longer there. He is not here, for He is risen. It's an empty tomb. That's a victory that was experienced by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the enemy has been trumped. The enemy has been defeated. Thank God Jesus Christ is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He is risen. We sing the song this morning, up from the grave He arose, a mighty triumph. Thank the Lord this morning. It was a victory won that day. And that is the message. That is the message of resurrection, of a triumphant Christ that was able to have victory experienced in everything. And you and I today have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the resurrection. Paul tells us that if there's no resurrection, then we of all men are most miserable. If there's no resurrection, we might as well shut the doors, lock it up, turn it into a barn and do something else, because if there's no resurrection, there's no heaven. If there's no resurrection, there's no salvation. If there's no resurrection, there's no such thing as Christian, and there's no heaven or hell. So we just go and live our life and do what we want to do. We die like an animal, go back to the dust of the earth and forget about it. Now, that's what the atheists would like for you to believe. But the Word of God tells us He arose. The Word of God tells us that He is alive. A living Lord, a test to the victorious Christ. How do we know He lives? Well, we have the testimony of angels. The Scripture tells us, as the women came to the tomb early in the morning that to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels said, "Be not afraid, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen." And I like the next three words, "as He said." It's not just the words of the angel. It's the words of Jesus Christ. The angel said He's not here. But Jesus said, "I won't be there." The angel said, you come looking for Him. He's not here, as He said. And the angel had to remind those disciples and those ladies and those that came to visit, they had to remind them of the words of the Son of God Himself. He said, "You destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll put her back up." And Jesus did that. And so He's not here like He said. So we have the testimony of the angel. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ Himself. We have the testimony of the two disciples as He appeared unto them on the road to Emmaus. And so the Scripture gives us many, many infallible proofs. We don't have time to go into all of them this morning. But we have the testimony that victory was won there when Jesus came forth and when Jesus came alive and He arose from the dead. He's not there, and He said He's going before you, and He will meet you there. And so they go and tell the disciples, and they bring His disciples word. Here they have to go tell the disciple, "Here's what we heard. Here's what we saw. Here's who we didn't see, Jesus Christ." So victory, the message that we have, the message of resurrection, proclaims to us a triumphant Lord. over death, hell, and thank God, over the grave. Because He arose, one day I shall. Because He arose, one day we will. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to be with Him in the air forever and forever and forever. If He didn't arise, you can just put her down, you won't. Because we rise because He is the first resurrection. The second thing of Easter or resurrection, the message, it presents to us a tremendous challenge. In Matthew 28, verse 11 through 20, we'll look at these words, we'll not read all of them, but in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 20, we have a tremendous challenge that is given by the resurrected Lord. We find that this challenge is to accept without question the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He proved that He was the Son of God in every aspect of His life, and therefore we are to accept that. Now that's a challenge to a lot of people. A lot of people say, well, if I can't figure it out, it cannot be true. Well, there's a lot of things I cannot figure out that are true. My little pea brain can't figure out a lot of things, but I can believe a lot of things. I can accept a lot of things. I can't figure out how you put a key in a car and you turn it and it starts. I don't know all the process of that, but I sure do believe it. If you don't believe me, just watch me. I'll go in and get it out after a while and I'll go home. Go somewhere. So we accept things that we do not understand. And the challenge is to us that we are to accept without question the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed, and He says, He that seeth me hath seen the Father. He claimed deity with the God of heaven. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the one with the Father. And friends, don't ask questions, and friends, accept what is given to us from the Word of God. So it's a challenge for us to accept what Jesus said. Not only that, it's a challenge to yield our life over without hesitation to the demands of the Lord. If the Lord is my Lord, then I need to yield myself to His demands. If He is the head of my life, if He is the one that I yield my allegiance to, then I serve Him. I honor Him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That just simply means to yield without hesitations to the demands of the Lord. To lay aside the desires of self. To live above the demands of society. Those are two strong issues for every one of us. Every one of us has a desire from within. We are very selfish people or self-learned, self-honoring people. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live the way we want to live. That's inbred in all of us. That's the way of life. But if Jesus Christ is my Lord, then sometimes I'm going to have to lay aside my desire just to follow Him. I may want to do something that God doesn't want me to do. So who wins the battle? You'll find out who's Lord, who wins the battle. You'll find out if you're Lord of your life or if He's Lord of your life. If you know there's a struggle going on and you know what God wants you to do and you know how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we have to lay aside our desires. Well, I'd rather do this. Well, maybe I had to. I don't have time for this. I've got to do this. But we've got to put priority on what's important. And if we belong to Jesus Christ, He is most important. If we belong to Him, then we prioritize what He wants comes first. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I crucify myself. What Paul was saying was that I lay aside my desires for what He desires. And so to live, that's a tremendous challenge for us. That's the message of Easter, that we are to lay aside our desires and our wants and put ourselves to the place where He can use us, put us at His disposal. We're to lay aside the desires of self, and then we're to live above the demands of society. The friends of our society many times are corrupt. Well, the child of God must live above that corruption. I didn't say it's easy, because sometimes it's very difficult, because our walk needs to match our talk. If our walk doesn't match our talk, then just don't talk. For it's better not to say than not to be able to do. I know a lot of folks that have been discouraged because, well, so-and-so says they're a Christian and just look how they're living. That's their walk not matching their talk. And so we have to realize the message of the resurrection. If He is our Lord, if He's our Savior, then we need to follow His words. And we're to lay aside my self-desire. Well, I'd rather go do something else than go talk to somebody about the Lord. But what's most important, what God wants me to do. And then I've got to lay aside the demands of society. The people I work with, the people I'm around, they're vulgar and they're ungodly and they do the things. Do I listen to it? Do I get involved with it? Or do I stand out in the crowd? Sometimes it's good to stand out. Sometimes it's good to stand up and just say, I do not and will not be involved in that. It's a challenge to proclaim without apology the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a challenge. I believe we ought to proclaim the gospel, and we do not have to bow our heads to anyone. We do not have to be ashamed to anyone that we're a Christian. Now, I don't know if you listen to all the junk out there on the news, it's almost a detriment to some of them if you even say anything religious. But I believe you ought to stand up for what you believe. This nation, this country was built upon, whether or not they like it or not, is built upon the principles of Judeo-Christian ethics of serving and being honest and being right. And by the way, every ounce of our foundation is built upon the things of Christianity. And we have a bunch of pinheads today that want to destroy all that, and they want us to forget about our history. They want us to do what they want to rewrite history. My friend, God is intertwined. Well, all the things that man did in the very beginning of our country. They don't want to talk about God, but they better not read the constitutions of every state, because every state's constitution has God listed within it in some way. It's interesting that when they go in the halls of the Supreme Court, they go under and by the Ten Commandments, but yet we can't display them in our public schools and our public places. What hypocrisy. The message of Easter is a message that challenges us to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness, and we may have to lay aside some of those things. What was the challenge that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave unto His disciples? What was the message here that provides to them a challenge and a hope for a lost and dying world? If you'll read your Bible, every account of the resurrection is followed by something. If it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts, the account of the resurrection is followed by what we call the Great Commission. Somebody said, well, why is that? Well, we had no message to tell until there was resurrection. Amen. Go and tell. Here the first thing that is said there concerning their discovery. He is not here. Come see the place and go quickly. Now we have a story. Now we have a message. Now we have a completed gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection message provides to us a tremendous confidence that He said, Lo, I'm with you always. even to the end of the world or the end of the age. Here we have a confidence that we can have in one that has died, he's been buried, but he's alive. And so if he's alive, if he has that kind of power, surely he has power to tell me that I can go into all the world and I can preach the gospel and I can tell folks and I can give them the message of salvation. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16, the 11 disciples went into Galilee, to a mount where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But you notice there, some doubted. There's always the doubters. There's always those that will not believe. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which accordingly to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." Here we find the confidence that we have a resurrected Lord, and now we have a message and we have abundant mercy, and we are to tell the world that Jesus loves them and died for them. The surety of our hope that we have. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live." This morning, because He is alive, we will one day also be just as alive. Because we serve and He is a risen Lord, we can have confidence this morning that one day I shall rise. As I mentioned a while ago, one day we're going to get up out of the cold, dirty ground of this world, and we're going to be resurrected to a new life in Jesus Christ, all because of what He did. That's a challenge to us to live and serve Him. That's a confidence that I can have. Job said in Job chapter 19, I love these verses, verse 25 and verse 26. Job says, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." We sing that this morning. "For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a blessed hope we have. Why, Job, he lived a long time before Jesus. Job's probably the oldest written book in the Bible. And Job says, "I know Him." And Job says, "Though I die and my flesh deteriorates away," he says, "in my flesh I shall see Him." Why does he say that? "I know my Redeemer liveth." Praise the Lord. Because I know Jesus lives, you can put me in the ground if you want to. In my flesh I'll see God. You can put me in the old, cold, stony earth, and you can forget about me, but God hadn't forgot about me. Can you imagine down through the ages of history of believers that have died? We don't know where their tombs are. We don't know where they've been laid. Time has erased some of that. But God hadn't forgotten them. Talk about the believer now. And Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." And he says, "I know He's going to stand upon the earth during the latter day," or the last day. And he says, "And after my skin worms, after I deteriorate, after I decay, after there's nothing left," Job says, "in my flesh I shall see Him." What a blessed hope we have in Christ. Well, the atheist don't have that. The non-believer doesn't have that. The religionist doesn't have that. Somebody that just goes to church nonchalantly doesn't have that. But we that are believers, we have a blessed hope of knowing that one day we're going to see Him. And I'm going to see Him not as a spirit, I'm going to see Him in flesh. those disciples there in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, as Jesus was teaching to him, those disciples, all of a sudden he lost the pull of gravity upon his feet and he began to ascend into heaven. Now how did he leave here? He left here in a body, a resurrected body, a new body. And the voice from heaven comes, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven?" Really what he's saying, you've got something to do now. Why stand here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, as you've seen him go, shall come again. He left in the flesh, and bless your heart, he's coming back in the flesh. Now I'm going to leave this world, and the Bible says it's going to be a new body, a new change. And I'm going to leave here just like Jesus did. We have a surety of this hope. The ultimate victory of righteousness is victory over sin. That hadn't happened yet. How you know that? I woke up this morning. And before I got down here to church, there's sinful deeds and sinful thoughts and sinful things because we're sinners. I said, "My goodness, preacher, are you that bad?" "Yeah. Guess what? I'm talking to a bunch just like me. But one of these days, that old sinful nature will be eradicated. It hadn't happened yet. He's still working on us. But one day he'll say, 'It's finished.' The product was taken out of this world into the glories of the Lord." And it's all because the message of resurrection. The ultimate victory over sin. The bodily resurrection of the saints. The eternal eternity. I can't even fathom the word. We talk about it over and over again, the word eternity. And we use it all the time, but the Word of God only uses it one time. Talks about God that inhabits eternity. But I'm going there. And I have the hope that one day I shall be with Him. And I'll have all eternity unmarred by sin. Everywhere I look, everywhere you look, is the mark of sin. You go down the sidewalk and you'll see the mark of sin. You go to your home and you'll see the mark of sin. You look in the mirror and you'll see it marked upon your face. Sin brings forth death. A physical death and a spiritual death. Everywhere we go, there's the markings and the telltale signs of death. You go to a hospital, that's the result and that's the mark of dying. You go to a cemetery, there's the end result of sin. You go to Revelation chapter 20 and God opens up the book just a little while. Somebody says, if God would open up hell just a little bit, I'm sure people wouldn't go there. Read Revelation chapter 20. He's opened it up. The dead, small and great, stand before God. The Bible says they cast into outer darkness. So we have a understanding that as a saint we shall be given life throughout all eternity in a place unmarked by sin. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew, I forget exactly what chapter it is, but he says that they're going to a place no more sin. No more areas, no more places, no more markings of sin. You know, every one of us this morning, if I was to take a poll this morning, I'd say, what's some of the markings of sin in your life? I wonder what we'd put down. Oh, I've got this scar over here when I live my life. Well, I've never got into all that, but my eyesight's not what it used to be. I got up this morning and my foot hurt. My back hurts. And some would be able to say, I can't even get up this morning. All those things are the markings of sin. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've just missed the mark. It's like an archer that takes his bow and arrow and he lets the arrow go and it falls just short of the mark. We've all sinned and come short. What's the mark? The glory of God. Only way we can ever experience that is to have an encounter with the Lord of glory, the resurrected Savior. We have an assurance. We have a surety of our hope. We have the substance of it, eternity, forever with Him. And we have a security of this hope. In Jesus' presence at the Father's right hand, as He stood for Stephen, as he entered into the glory of the Lord and learned the book of Acts, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. And one of these days He's going to welcome us into His presence. I have assurance of that. What is the assurance? The Word of God. He's our faithful advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is our propitiation. He's our substitute. He's our go-between. He promises us an eternal life, an eternal abode. In my Father's house are many mansions. And you know what He said in there? He said, you can go there. All because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the message of resurrection? Well, it's the message of salvation. For every time we read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He ties it in to telling people about Christ. We call it the Great Commission. You read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, always followed by going into all the world preaching the gospel. That's what we do in our personal life as a believer. We should do. That's what we do as a church. That's what missionaries do. That's our commission. That's our goal. And that is the message of resurrection. I'm glad, thank the Lord, He arose, He arose. I'm glad for the message that was said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen as He said. There is our story, there is our message. And that is the proclamation, that is the command, that is the commission that Jesus Christ gives to every believer. He is alive. Now we can have life through His name. Bless His holy name. One day He came to my heart and let me know I was a sinner. He knocked upon your heart. So however that's just a phrase we use, but God lets us know we need Him. It's not good enough to have knowledge. It's not good enough to have works. It's not good enough to have those things. We've got to have Him. If we didn't need Him, He wouldn't have died. If we didn't need Him, He wouldn't have come. We can go all the way back. He wouldn't even have come. If we didn't need Him, He wouldn't have been planned as the Lamb before the foundation of the world to be slain for sinful man. But we need Him. We got to have Him. And without Him, we have life, nothing, no life. But with Him, we have it all. That is the message of Easter. That's the message of resurrection. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's stand together this morning.